Welcome to episode 411 of the Sideshow Podcast, the first of the pandemic era of 2020. We are perfectly set up for this. We live in different states, do this in our own place, with in separate rooms from even our spouses. So assuming music keeps coming out, we can keep the show going. This will not get postponed or canceled.
What you won't get is any live reviews for the foreseeable future, because every band has canceled every tour ever.
Yeah, and that's shitty across the board. Like, obviously, as everyone knows now, all the American national sports things have been canceled and postponed, which is just going to be devastating to that industry, like from the leagues to the venues. Concerts, same way. I mean, the music industry is going to be royally fucked, especially metal bands. As you all know by now, even with touring, that's the biggest promotion for them, but they still make their money on merch. So if you're planning to go to a show and they had to get canceled or refunded, go buy a t-shirt, go help your bands out to try to keep them afloat during this time. Metal Sucks is keeping a running update of all the tours that are happening, all the metal tours that are happening right now and their status. Interestingly, last I checked a couple days ago, the Killswitch Engage August Burns Red tour was not on there. And I know a show from a day or two ago at this point, we're recording this on, what's today, the 14th of March, was canceled, but I have tickets to go see them April 11th in New York, and I have not received a notification that it's going to be canceled. I haven't got a refund or anything. So while I'm hopeful, though, it may happen, I really don't expect it to, but that's one tour that, of course, I have tickets for. I haven't heard anything about. I'm just hoping by May, fucking Bloodbath can come over here, because they were supposed to come last year, had visa issues, canceled the tour. It'll be literally a year ago from when they're supposed to come now, of May. So they better get their fucking ass over here, because that'll be 2 years in a row they haven't made it. My Bloodbath tour has been canceled. For those of you who have a dark sense of humor and are not following us on social media, which you should do, I made two different playlists, one called COVID-19, the other called Novel Coronavirus, that are on Apple Music,
they're good.
They're thematic. They're good. I've listened to them both. As I noted in the post, in the playlist, the Novel Coronavirus list, which maybe I should call something more fun, was the second one I made. It's longer. The titles are all thematic, but the lyrics aren't necessarily so. It's less serious. It's like a horror movie sequel. And there's new metal in there, because there's too many songs that just fit the bill. But go check those out on Apple Music. I don't have Spotify. I don't know if Nick does.
I don't really
to get them recreated on there. But if anyone wants to take the effort and put them on there, go for it. It's good. They're good lists. Also, follow us on social media. We're trying to use that. So that's where shit's at now. This week we have a ton of shit to get through. We got three full-length albums we're going to do. We got two EPs we're going to cover, and we're going to revisit our Black Label for the month. So without further ado, we're going to kick this off with Tombs and their latest release, Monarchy of Shadows, out now on Season of Mist, which, if I recall, is a label change from their last album. And we've had a storied history with this band. So we started reviewing them on the show with Savage Gold, because that was just how the timing worked. Path of Totality came out the same year the show started, but it was too early. We liked Path of Totality. We were sorely disappointed with Savage Gold, because it was just, you know, boring black metal album. I don't remember our thoughts on All Empires Fall, to be honest with you.
We gave it fours.
Okay, we also gave that to Grand Annihilation, which was their last full length. We enjoyed it. Got back to what Tombs was, which was not just black metal. There was black and roll in there, and a little bit of kind of thrashy core aspect in there. There was just a blend of things that made them something unique and different, and honestly, fun despite how serious and dark they are. Kind of like in a Wormwitch kind of way. Not necessarily sonic, not necessarily stylistically, but so Monarchy of Shadows is a disappointment to the level of Savage Gold, as far as I'm concerned. This album is just mostly, again, standard fare black metal you've heard a ton of times before. And even a song like the one we're going to play for you, Necro Alchemy, which has a bit of their other influences, it sounds half-assed. Because they just throw like breakdowns in the middle, which I love me a good breakdown, but it doesn't blend the styles as we know Tombs can. Why these guys can't consistently release the style of music they've imposed on us, I don't understand. Winter Hours, it's been a while since I revisited that, but I remember that being a bit more atmospheric, even if rooted in black metal, but showing other genres. Path of Totality brought that more forward. Savage Gold lost it. And then they picked it up again with All Empires Fall, Grand Annihilation, and then we're back on Savage Gold territory. So maybe whatever the next release is, we'll start the cycle over. But I don't understand why they keep falling into this pit of, oh, we're just going to do standard black metal crap, because they're better than that.
Yeah, the best guess I have for why the huge shift is that the entire band is different between Grand Annihilation and Monarchy of Shadows. The only remaining member is the founding member, Mike Hill, who does, well, he does pretty much everything. He's, you know, vocals, guitar, bass, and electronics. So, like, he does a lot of the writing, obviously, yeah. But the rest of the structure of the band that would actually need to, you know, comprise of a lineup to play it live is all different.
But if he's doing most of the writing...
I mean, I'm assuming he's doing most of the writing because he's credited with doing everything on Metal Archives.
Right.
But I don't know that for sure. Right. But that's kind of the vibe you get is he's the Rob Flynn of Tombs. the surviving member that dictates the direction.
Yeah.
I generally agree with you. Like, this is a little bit just kind of too standard fare without what makes any of their previous stuff interesting. I do enjoy the more stompy stuff that you get in Necro Alchemy. Like, that was a welcome relief, but it felt like it didn't fit compared to what else they were doing.
Exactly.
Like, it didn't feel half-assed to me. It just felt out of place, I think, would be how I would put it. Because, like, it's right in the middle of this EP/album. I don't know what we're calling this, because it's only, six songs?
I think they're calling
it. But it is 35 minutes long, yeah. So, like, that's right on the border. But yeah, so it's like right in the middle of it, and it's the only example that you get of that kind of stompy, groovy vibe. So I don't know. Like, it's not something I'm going to go back to a lot. It's not. I mean, I don't generally go back to Tombs a whole ton, anyways. But when I do, it's not going to be this.
Yeah.
So I think this probably lands back at a two again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
because it's just not strong.
When I said half-assed, I agree it doesn't fit. Half-assed was supposed to refer to the writing of the song. Like, they took, oh, here's this extra influence, we're just to dump it right here and not integrate it into literally anything. Yeah, it's unfortunate, because I want to like this band more than they let me. And that's what it feels like. They keep reeling me in, and they're like, oh, we're going to disappoint you.
Yeah.
It's like returning to that girlfriend you should have broken up with, like, months ago. Anyway, I'm giving it a 2 as well. So, Tombs, Monarchy of Shadows, it's out now via Season of Mist. We're going to play you the one song we like, Necro Alchemy. Check it out. We'll be right back.
All right, that was Necro Alchemy from Tombs off their latest Monarchy of Shadows. It's out in Season of Mist. Let us know what you thought of that or anything else we're about to cover by heading over to SideshowPodcast.com and commenting on the episode, doing the social media thing, you know, wherever. All right, next one, we have Xenobiotic with their sophomore album, More Drake, out on Unique Leader. This was our first exposure to these guys. I don't remember what made this stand out to you to pick it, if you had seen it somewhere or skimmed it or whatever, but it ended up on our list of potential things to review, and we dove into it, and I'm very glad we did. This was a lot of fun. It's tagged in my iTunes as progressive deathcore. I don't know that deathcore is the right word for it. I still associate deathcore with crap, and I know that's not fair. We've reviewed so much of it that we enjoy at this point in time that I need to change my way of thinking, but I would call this more just like progressive metal, death metal,
or maybe the core technical aspect of
it. It's not super techy either, so it's like it kind of walks that line.
I have too many tags, but, and I hadn't listened to it completely before I added one, so I need to change it, but
I like to look at that every now and then, just see what, because like I usually import these after you've made notes on them and whatnot, so it's fun to see what they get tagged, and I'm not positive I agree with this one, but
fair. I don't
either way. What you, the word progressive is definitely appropriate, whether you want to call it just death metal, metal, deathcore, or tech death, I don't know. But it's really well laid out, heavy, very engaging music. It's diverse in a way that the songs are all heavy. They have a definite tech death vibe to them, but with a production and flow that works extremely well. Like the give and take of quieter moments, instrumental passages, short interstitial songs, which usually I hate and rail against, are integrated well enough into this album that it never feels like they're superfluous or that they take away from where it's going. It just helps the album connect and flow through and kind of serve as one kind of bigger, better experience. For something I had no idea what we were getting into, and we have a little bit of a mixed relationship with Unique Leader bands, I think is fair to say, where we tend to think a lot of them, like, the overall output is good, but usually it's like, oh, it's going to be a three with a little bit of variation here or there. This was a very, very pleasant surprise. It was just a perfect listen in the way that was extremely heavy, and as soon as it started to be like almost borderline fatiguing with the intensity of it, they knew exactly where to put in something to be a little bit lighter, a little bit slower, a little bit open, and vice versa. It never lingered too long on that, that it always came back to something that would get your head nodding again, and it walked that line really, really well to always be an engaging listen. You know, a lot of times something that's this heavy, this I guess kind of techie, can turn into a wash, and this never did. This was something that I was always engaged and enjoying listening to. I don't really have much else. This was a really good, fun listen.
Yeah, this was expertly crafted. I mean, just the you're saying,
that's a much better way of putting it. I stumbled around that phrase so long. Thank you.
But that, which is exactly what you're trying to say, which is how I came up with it. I mean, it's the way they wrote the album and tracked it gives you a very even pacing of the aggression and the bits of melody and the little bit of breakdowns and moments of reprieve. Cause it's extremely aggressive, but there are subtle, even if subtly so, melodic moments. There's enough groove in there, whether it's just in an actual groovy riff or a bit of a breakdown, giving it a bit of a deathcore vibe, but not in a bad way. I know deathcore has become a bad word, but it technically, if it's done right, it doesn't have to be. It's vocally, it's even varied too. It reminds me a lot of Ingested's vocals, where it's very aggressive and throaty, but extremely intelligible. This is what modern death metal should be. And like, it's taking bits of all these styles and rolling it into one, but doing it in an expert way where it's, you know, actually crafted together, not like, we're going to do, this song's going to be techy, this song's going to be proggy. And it like you started with, it has that great modern production. It's crisp and clear and everything stands out, but it's not overly polished. There's a nice robustness to the sound. Everything has its place. It has depth and clarity. I mean, this is probably going to be one to beat for the end of the year when it comes to death metal albums anyway.
For sure.
Like, this is, and that is actually, so I came across this, I think, just randomly on Bandcamp. I don't know if it was a suggested thing or whatever. I happened to be on Unique Leader's page and I saw the artwork, which is stunning as well. And then I hopped over to Heavy Blog, which they pretty much said this was going to be the album to set the bar for 2020. I'm like, that's a strong statement, especially since we were at the time he was 2 months into the year.
Right.
But I can't argue too much with that. I mean, this is going to be one we go back to, and it's going to set that bar. So this is a 5 of an album for sure.
Yep. Totally agree. Good find on this one. I enjoyed it immensely. So with that, we are going to play Grieving the Loss of Self from Xenobiotic's album Mordrake, out on Unique Leader. Check it out.
Save me from this utter circle of hell.
Right, that was Grieving the Loss of Self by Xenobiotic off their fantastic second full length, Mordrake. It's out now in a unique leader. Going to something probably more extreme and slightly different stylistically. Excuse me. Beneath the Massacre are back with their new album called Fearmonger, which is, this time is put out by Century Media. These guys have been, if you've been missing from the scene for the last 8 years, you may not even know they existed, because that's when their last full album, full length, came out. Incongruous was in 2012. Before that, their full length was from 2008. So prolific is not in this guy's vocabulary. But they were a band I did follow back then because they were on Prosthetic and I was pretty much on top of everything they put out. And they're a frantic version of death grind, and really kind of pacing wise, I think, focus on the grind, but song length and actually writing style is really more in the death metal vein. And that's what actually makes them kind of interesting. On one hand, is their approach to it, where everything is insanely fast, particularly the drumming is fucking crazy fast. The speed of the blasting is just like, it's stunning, really. But what they have in their speed and frantic pacing and ridiculously violent aggression, they lose in memorability. Because you're not getting any real melodies here or anything like that. I mean, the memories of this album come from the experience of just being pummeled to death. And if that's what you want, or if you're just in a mood to destroy everything, Fearmonger's the place to go. I mean, it's impressive. The playing is impressive, but the songwriting is fitting. Like, it's solid. There's nothing bad about it, but it's hard to find something that actually brings you back into the album. There's standouts on there, and again, in various areas of the playing, the speed riffing and the frantic frantic frets and whatnot, but it's hard to be like, oh, let me go, I'm not going to go back to this song or that song. There's nothing
right.
Anything that could be thought of as a hook is not there. Being gone for 8 years, they brought back the exact same style of writing and playing they had before, which I guess is a good thing. But the genres have shifted so much, it begs the question, did we need this? Did we actually want Beneath the Massacre back? I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to say because I didn't care so much. But I think there's other bands of their style that do this maybe a little better.
Yeah. Did you go back and listen to Incongruous this week?
Part of it. And I also listened to a little part of Dystopia, which is their second album.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't even have that. This will surprise nobody. I gave Incongruous a skip back in episode 21 when we covered these guys, because like I was so not into the style of music. So I went back and listened to it just to see, because I saw I gave it a skip and I was like, all right, well, I know my tastes have changed a lot. Let's see like what I hated about this. And as you just noted, there's almost no growth or change between Incongruous and Fearmonger. Mm-hmm. It's like the same breakneck pacing, the same amount of weight to it, the same style of writing. There's not a lot of, like, really any development to it. It's like they just took off the better part of a decade and then put out almost the same album again. And yeah, basically, see my review for Xenobiotic and flip it on its head, and you have my review for Beneath the Massacre. Where Xenobiotic is memorable in the fact that it's super heavy and really dense, but it's tracked in a way and with enough other quieter moments and levity to make the weight have an impact and make it memorable. This strips all of that out for just sheer brutality. And it washes over me within the first two tracks and I check out and I'm done.
Right.
Like the drumming insanely fast. The fucking fretwork is ridiculous. But it's not memorable because it never lets up. Like every now and then you get a little bit of like a more stompy groove element thrown in for like 10 seconds at a time where there's enough of a break in the wash of noise that you're like, oh, hey, and then it's gone again. The vocals are extremely flat. There is no range in this delivery at all. And the production on it is crisp, but it's all like very centered. There's not a lot of definition. There's not a lot of space. There's no real soundstage, so to speak of. So it's just like this tight, super focused, aggressive wave of noise without any breaks or pauses for, you know, 40 minutes or whatever it is, for 30 minutes, sorry. And it's just like, I don't know. I check out after three songs every time. This was one that like, it's not bad, but I had a hard time listening to the entirety of the album straight through because I just couldn't stay focused on it. I just didn't care.
Right.
And that's unlike last time where I gave it a one and was like, fuck that. Like, I'm going to be a little more patient with it this time around and realize that this is still just not for me. However, I do think there are some big shortcomings in it. Like, I can't believe it's somebody's goal to write music that people don't care about or remember. So that has to be viewed as a shortcoming. So I think I'm still going to lean to a two on this. Like, I'm more on board with the idea of just writing something insanely heavy and maybe it not being for me, but like a little bit of room for diverse songwriting doesn't just speak to a genre I don't enjoy. It speaks to a skill level or maturity of style writing that I think is not quite there. And after taking an 8-year break and seeing what has changed in the scene, I would like to think a little bit of that would have worked their way into what they were doing. So yeah,
I
think I'm splitting the difference on where I feel like I should be and where I came from. Right. And I'm going to land on a 2 for
so it. So I feel like the grooves and stuff in this, if there were just even more of that worked into the songs as opposed to like 4 seconds at a bridge, because there's a – referring to Heavy Block is Heavy again only because they reviewed this as well and loved it. There's a line here in the last paragraph that says, while obtusely aggressive and domineering, the record never feels like the band are being extreme just for the sake of being extreme. And I disagree, because that's exactly 100%. What this album sounds like. And yes. The other part of that is you can't understand the vocals, which is fine. There's plenty of death metal you don't understand the vocals. But if there's a message here that the heaviness, the obtusely aggressive sound is supposed to be supporting, it's lost. Maybe you can pick it up from a song title, but generally you're not looking at that constantly. So it does just seem extreme for being extreme, and it is very extreme. So I'm going to give it a 3 because I recognize the talent in the playing, and I do like the obtusely aggressive nature. I think that's a great description of it. I just, like Nick, it kind of loses me after a while. So if they work that into something more memorable, I'm completely on board. With that, we're going to play you the song Return to Medusa off Beneath the Massacre's latest album, Fearmonger. Check it out. All right, that was Return to Medusa by Beneath the Massacre, again off their latest album Fearmonger, their return to the scene after an 8-year hiatus. Drastically switching genres this time, we're going to our black label, which for the month is Holy Roar Records. We talked a bit about them last time, obviously, and how they've been around for many years, officially forming back like in 2007. And these guys, again, focus on core, whether most especially hardcore punk and post-hardcore, but there's a bit of grindcore and really anything you can attach the word core to. Amongst other things, some post-metal. It's a diverse label even within their focus. There's a lot of good stuff to dig into and like on there, including Rollo Tomasi, which was one of the bands that kind of introduced us or made us dig deeper, I should say, into the label. To not completely talk about everything we rehashed last week. There we go.
There it is.
I had all the words wrong order. Something interesting I noted looking through their website is that how they're working distribution, at least in part, where in the U.S., they're distributing through Deathwish Records, which is very fitting stylistically. But they're doing distribution for Prosthetic Records within the U.K. So it's cool to see that, you know, it's really just about the business and figuring out how they can all help each other out. Because I'm sure this is way easier than setting up all your own stuff. And I'm sure there's other distribution deals from all these labels going throughout the world, but that is just like blatantly on their site. And it also, it's great for giving access to the rest of us. I mean, we saw that talking about Transcending Obscurity. They have a store set up in the US, but they put some CDs and stuff in there, but it's not everything, especially vinyl and such. The deals that Holy War seem to be working out gives you a lot more access to a lot more of their stuff. Another thing I am going to reiterate from last week is they're one of some few labels on Bandcamp that do a subscription, which is cool. It's something I think I would like the other labels we talked about to do. I'm going to keep saying that until somebody listens to me. And I was a subscriber for a while, and it's great because you just get new music all the time. And so it gets you to check out things you may not necessarily get into, but also it's I think it's like $5, you're getting way more than $5 worth of music. So even if you only do it a couple months to give it a try, I would highly recommend doing it. So with that, one of the things you would get is a new album by the band Giver came out last month. They're a hardcore punk band, something that we may not necessarily have checked out on our own, but something I enjoy. It falls squarely into the little bit of punk I dabble in and the hardcore sound I do enjoy, and kind of merges it together. While it may be standard fare for the sound, for the style, I can't really say, but it's something more fresh for me because it's not what I dig into. So check out the title track Sculptural Violence from Giver's newest album. Yeah.
All right, that was Giver from our Black Label feature this month, which was Holy Roar Records. Stay tuned for April when we have another one, which is yet to be determined. And as we have said every month thus far, if you have any labels you'd like to throw our way of smaller or lesser known origins, send them our way via our email or social media or on the site, and we will take a look at them and see if it's something we want to feature. All right, moving on. We've got a couple of EPs that we want to just talk about quickly and move through, one of which being Svengali with debut, I believe, EP Nightmares of Our Own Design. It's out on Mind Eraser. I was keyed onto this by social media, actually. I follow Alex Weber, the, I guess, mastermind of this project. We recently covered his playing on the Wormhole album. And before that, we've talked about Wait and Exist and a few other bands he's played in. Really, what I'm learning from reading this list of bands is we generally haven't enjoyed a lot of what these bands are, but I really enjoy his playing. The dude is so fucking talented. Like, just watching his playthrough demo stuff, he gets hired as a fill-in or contributor for a whole bunch of other bands doing a lot of studio work. And he also plays, like, in orchestral and symphonic type things on double bass as well. And the dude is just fucking brilliant to watch. So I've become a fan and followed him through there. And he also builds his own instruments, which, as we all know, is something I'm interested in. So I tend to check out music he puts out, which I don't necessarily always enjoy, but always want to see what it is. And that kind of is exactly what my review of this EP would be. It's on the avant-garde side. It's four songs, the first of which stands on its own at 10 minutes. The other three, which is like 14 minutes of one like movement, I guess, or three movements of one longer piece. Not generally my type of thing. It is extremely progressive. The writing on it is good and talented, but it is not something that I am generally going to key into or go back to. But it was something I wanted to check out and something I wanted to plug in case, you know, it was of your interests and it is, you know, an EP, a debut, and something worthy of talking about and pointing out. So I figured it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, this is definitely for fans of like earlier Devin, or just any Devin Townsend or Wild Run or Wilder Run, however you pronounce that. Yeah, it's a little too proggy and avant-garde for my taste too, but I can appreciate his playing and some parts of this. Just as a whole, it's just a bit much for me. And there's a couple of weird points in the production that were I found distracting to me, particularly in the pillowy bass drum and the way it was mixed. But that's, I guess, kind of a nitpick, but it's interesting. And though I'm not as infatuated with Alex's, you know, well, with bass period and his other workings, but, and let's be real, I've had more misses than hits with his projects you've been showing me too. Wormhole. But we'll see. There's potential here, and he's a fantastic musician, as Nick pointed out, so there might be more Alex to come, but I'm not sure Svengali's for me.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so we're going to play the song Nightmares of Our Own Design 1, Echoes of Prejudice. Check it out. Let us know what you think.
Captive of dogma, convinced.
So then the other EP we want to get to real quick is Hot Graves putting out an EP called Haunted Graves. They're from Redefining Darkness. I think we talked about this band a bit when we talked about the label mm-hmm. 2 months ago. So we wanted to circle back. The way I'm going to describe this is like if Midnight found a bunch of Enabler, trapped them in Disfear albums. Like, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little punkier, hardcore-y, violent-y, some D-beat, but definitely has that old-school speed metal sound to it. But it's fun. Like, it's underproduced to just the right point where it gives you a nice, gritty, raw sound, but nothing is painful to listen to. The whole thing is only 11 minutes, so it blasts through the style great. A little bit of kind of like Black and Thrash core type thing. It's a great EP. I listened to the last album too, and I also enjoyed it. So I'm curious to see how this band keeps developing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We had a name for this style of like punky, not produced well. Yeah, we had a fun name for that when we covered a shit ton of it for that 1 year.
That we
did a lot of Enabler and things along those lines. I don't remember what we were calling it. It was something like grime, but wasn't.
It wasn't filth.
Yeah, but this fits that. You know, I hadn't really necessarily made the Enabler connection, but that is perfect. That speaks to the reasons why I enjoy this as much as I do, because I fucking miss that band daily. That works, and this is a good placeholder for lacking that.
All right, so at the very end of the show, we're going to play you some of this black and filthy crust punk thing, whatever we named it last time. The song will be Sewage Communion from the Haunted Graves EP. In the between episodes, make sure, again, follow us on social media, particularly Instagram. I'm trying to keep up on there, though I do push it out to Twitter and Facebook. You can just look for a Sideshow Podcast and find us on all those, or go to thesideshowpodcast.com. There's links to all of that. There's ways to contact us via email. Also, as always, the album art on the side that summarizes the reviews are links to Amazon. Do your Amazon shopping through there as you're trying to buy cleaning products or face masks or whatever you're doing now. We get a little kickback from Amazon when you do that. It keeps the show up and running, helps pay for, you know, some overhead. I'm using air quotes here, costs that we have. For next week, for 2 weeks from now, next episode, you think we've been doing this long enough?
I would stop saying next week.
Or as I'm talking to Nick between reviews, I keep saying last week, and it's not. At any rate, next episode, 412, we actually have planned out. We're going to check out the newest album from Code Orange. We're going to revisit Neck in the Woods with their new album. A new band for us, Earth Rot. And we're going to revisit a Bands Across America. The Sideshow ABCs. That's what they were from. Wrong segment. one from later in the alphabet. I'm not going to give that away because I just told you everything else we're doing. And as Nick's mentioned before, there'll be a new Black Label. We have to go figure that out. So while we do that, check out Sewage Communion by Hot Grays, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.